Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Includa, including Intuka, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here we go. Felger, Maz, day three, Felger free. And today, we're also without Jim Murray. No Murray. You know what that means, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, Billy Lanny? You know what that means?
It means bend over Boston, because it's coming.
Uh-oh.
At least in the studio, what it means is, in the studio, Jimmy, only. I'm including you in it. Power trip. Here we go. No Murray, no Felger. Jones, shut up and sit down.
I am. What do you mean?
Here you go. Christian Arcane also. We've elevated the night show to join us here today. Honestly, I'm happy to have them both, frankly, because I think there's a chance today where that I will actually get to be the good guy.
That's doubtful.
When you have Jones alongside.
I actually requested this duo for this spot.
Oh, nice.
So look, Hardy actually...
Jones, you're a national treasure and the whole world should know, and more people should experience the full Jones experience.
Well, thank you.
So Hardy mentioned this in the headlines, and I don't think it's an insignificant... What do you got, Hardy? He wants to say something. Go ahead.
Can I go?
No, you can go. Okay, get out of here. Yeah, get lost. Hardy mentioned this in the headlines, and it is a piece of news out of Foxborough today that I think is absolutely worth mentioning off the top of the show, and we will get to it shortly. Jordan Matthews, wide receiver, signed by the Patriots, has been released. The Patriots have released Jordan Matthews. The hamstring injury apparently is significant that he suffered over the weekend. Matthews is a Patriot no more. And if you were worried about that wide receiving core with the Patriots before this injury, you're certainly worried about it now. It certainly suggests or seems to open the door for Eric Decker joining the team as well. And but we'll get to that a little bit later. I do want to start Red Sox quickly. I know we did a lot yesterday, but they lost to the Philadelphia Phillies last night. 3-1 was the final score. They split two games with Philadelphia. If Murray were here, his asterisk, the seven spokes on it, because he erased one yesterday, the asterisk would still have seven spokes back, man.
Oh, you wouldn't put it back on?
No, he doesn't put it back on until the end of the week.
I see.
Till the end of the week. If they sweep the Yankees, the asterisk comes off entirely.
I thought he said 3 out of 4.
I think he said they had to win 5 out of 6 total.
So now they have to sweep.
So now they have to sweep.
So now I think they have to sweep the Yankees without Chris Sale, which will be a neat trick. But I do think that, and you mentioned this in the email exchange this morning, Pac-Man, and to me it's a good place to start. The Red Sox performance against playoff teams versus non-playoff teams. So you had a competitor in here, a contender rather, in here with the Phillies for the last couple of nights. Two highly competitive, low-scoring, tight games, one of which went 13 innings, the other one which was 2-1 going into the ninth. And the Red Sox split. What does it tell you?
Well, it's just interesting to me, Tony, that the Red Sox have gone, I don't know, the better part of a month facing a bunch of crap, Minnesota and Baltimore and Detroit and Toronto and Texas and Kansas City and Washington, who is back to 500 after scoring 25 runs last night. They're finally back to 500. The last time the Red Sox faced a team with a winning record was July 1st when David Price got absolutely his brains beaten in on Sunday Night Baseball against the Yankees. They have not faced a team with a winning record since or a playoff team since. And weird, they split with that team. They didn't beat up on them. It took them 13 innings to get the win. They lost the other game last night. It's weird how that works out. They face a good team and they don't roll all over them like they have the rest of the league they've been facing for the last month.
So what you're saying basically is that they played a legitimate team 3 days in the month of July and they lost two of them.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
3 days in the month of July, they played a legit team, and they lost two of those games.
Yeah, Yankees.
Christian, what does that tell you?
Tells me that, well, based on that and some other numbers I'm sure you're about to bring up here, Tony, is that the Red Sox have been rolling over the bad teams in the league and are about 500 when they play the good ones, right? I mean, that's where we are. That's what this team is. We've seen enough of a sample size to understand that that's what they've been this year.
Okay, so is 500 against a good team's good or bad?
It's average.
It's not good.
Okay.
I'll say it's not good. I won't say it's bad, but it's not good.
Okay, so people get bent out of shape when I say this sort of stuff, but I think that your point with the series is worth bringing up because I looked it up again today. The Red Sox versus quote-unquote contenders this year, okay? And Cleveland's on the list, but they haven't played Cleveland yet, so I left Cleveland off so that everyone knows where we're going. Yankees, Houston, Oakland, Seattle, Atlanta, and Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Atlanta and Philadelphia are at the top of the NL East.
Right. And so even, even they're kind of sketchy, but sure.
Okay, but they're both playoff teams.
No, they are. Somebody's right? got to win that division.
Okay,
yeah.
so they're both playoff teams. I did not manipulate the data.
Yep.
I'd have included Cleveland in here, but Cleveland is not a playoff team.
Right.
So against those teams, the Red Sox are 15-16.
That's a losing record.
Their winning percentage is .484, and in 31 games, their run differential is a +9.
Oh, well, that's good.
Okay, 31 games +9. It's really not that good.
Yeah, +9.
But over 31 games.
Yeah, no, it's not great.
Okay, versus their performance against everyone else. 78 games, 60-18. Their one loss record is, or their percentage, winning percentage, .769. And their run differential, +167 in 78 games.
They'd be like if the Nationals played the Mets every night. That's what the Red Sox have been when they crap teams. They'd be like the Nats beating up on the Mets last night.
So I would, what was the final of that game? 25-6?
25-4, something like that?
Yeah. I mean, it was absurd. It was 16-0 at one point. I said, this is ridiculous. So the Nationals apparently decided to play the day after the trading deadline. Is that what, that was sort of the idea?
Yeah, Bryce Harper's back.
But that aside, like, I don't understand why Red Sox fans get annoyed at this. When those are just facts. Those are nothing more than facts. And I don't think the Phillies are even all that good.
No. Nope.
But they're a playoff team. Nor do I think the Braves are all that good.
No. National League crap.
Okay. And so the Red Sox had their hands full with here, the Phillies, for the last couple of days. And Adam, I think you said this in the email, and it's a good point. The one game they won took them 13 innings.
Yeah. It's not exactly like they rolled over Philadelphia. They needed, you know, extra time, extra innings to beat down Philadelphia. So, right. Even the win, I'm not going to go Big Jim and put an asterisk on it, but... Yeah, you needed a little extra time to get rid of that team. You were fortunate. You probably won one of those two games.
I mean, it is, I just think, further evidence that this team beats the crap out of bad competition, which is great. Again, the Yankees don't. The Yankees take their eye off the ball. The Yankees don't focus. And Jimmy Stewart, our producer, by the way, we can open up the phone lines. 617-779-0985. I forgot to mention that. So call in right away if you want. But the Yankees have lapses. The Yankees lose focus against Baltimore, and the last time I checked, and I haven't added this up recently, they were like 10-10 against the Orioles and the Rays combined. I mean, that's poor. That is a poor record.
Well, and they're getting smoked by Baltimore today.
Okay, so what's the score of the game?
6-1.
Okay, they're getting killed by the Orioles again, and they've had problems with the Orioles all year.
Well, what's left of the Orioles?
Well, that's, so this
there's
is,
nothing left on that team, and they're kicking the Yankees' ass right now.
So it's another good point, right? I mean, again, they've shipped off how many players between Zach Britton, Scope. You go, Brock is gone. You just go right up and down
Gaussman.
The list. Yeah, they up and down. The Orioles have completely dismantled that team.
Machado, right.
So the Yankees, you want to tell me that the Red Sox have done a better job of staying focused in the regular season, treating every game as a real game, every opponent as a real, real opponent? True. Absolutely true. But the reason I err toward the side of putting emphasis on the good opponents is because, one, history has shown that the teams that play better against good competition do better in October. And secondly, when you get to October, you're only going to face good competition.
Yeah, and thirdly, there's more bad teams this year than there's ever been in the American League. Like, you're more apt to run into bad teams. The Red Sox just went a month without playing a good team. July 1st is the last time they got a playoff team in the New York Yankees. So you're more prone to facing these bad teams this year than any other year. So the record is, I think, by definition, inflated.
So, and there are little things that happen in a Red Sox team that you look at on a night like last night and you say, huh, in retrospect, that made a difference. So, for example, in the very first inning last night, Red Sox had a couple of base runners on against Jake Arrieta, and the inning ended like this.
Runner at first taken off outside. Here's the throw. Runner breaking to the plate now. Playing home, and the tag gets him. Benintendi cut down. Red Sox trying to fool him, but... the Phillies reacted appropriately and cut down Benintendi, so no score after one.
What'd you make of that, Pac-Man?
What do you mean, what I make of it? It's another horrible base-running error by the Red Sox and your guy, Benintendi. And I don't know if that's a play put on by the Red Sox. I don't know if Benintendi had his head up his ass and just took off towards home when he saw the throw to second base like he was in Little League. Like, I don't quite know what went down on that play, but it's another boneheaded base-running play by the Red Sox and Benintendi specifically.
Do you ever see a base runner get thrown out on that play in the big leagues? Does it ever happen?
I don't see that play in the big leagues. A delayed double steal with two outs?
Wait, do you ever see a player get thrown out? Yes, I see that all the time.
Go ahead.
What do you mean?
In Little League.
No, I see. You see guys get thrown out on it all the time. Like, all the time. They don't normally get home base. That happens in Little League. Like, normally they'll score in Little League. But no, in the major leagues, that play never works. Never.
Yeah, but this is my point. In the major leagues, nobody tries it.
Right. Well, they shouldn't.
That's my point. Nobody tries. When I say, do you ever see a guy get thrown out on that play? My point is that they don't try it because they know that big league players can execute it. So you run a double steal. The guy cuts in front of the bag, intercepts the throw, and the runner breaks home. Who's the jackass that decided to send Benintendi there? Whether it's Benintendi or Fabulous or whether it's go no matter what.
He was only out by like 5-10 feet. It was a pretty close play.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Well, when you have a group of savvy base runners like the 2018 Boston Red Sox, you got to take advantage on the base pass every chance you get, right, Tony?
So I'm glad you brought that up, Christian, because they are still atop all major league teams in outs on the bases this year. Hmm. They've been thrown out 49 times on the bases, more than any other club. We know that last year they led the major leagues in being thrown out on the bases. They are second in being thrown out at home now. So I suppose that's an improvement because last year they were number one. They've been thrown out 17 times at home.
Yeah, baby steps.
Minnesota Twins have been thrown out more than the Red Sox have, but the Twins suck. So that makes perfect sense. But the Red Sox, really, again, I just don't know how many more games you have to see before you come to the realization that this team does not quite have the, what's the right word? The cachet that a lot of people want to believe that they do.
Well, it's called it factor, Tony.
So look, again, it's a bad league. So the win total is going to end up around 112 or whatever it's going to be. But they played three games in July against playoff teams and they lost two of them. Absolutely. Dan, by the way, in Boston, I'll take a call here quickly in the first segment, wants to talk about that double steal. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I want to talk about that double steal. I agree that the play is a little bit bonehead and it's very likely that they are going to get thrown out a lot just based upon their aggressiveness. But it's the first inning. Nobody wants to see a 13-inning game. Everybody complains about this, that, and the other. You're playing Jake Arrieta and also a quality team and two quality pitchers. So you want to try and force the envelope. It's two outs. It's the first inning. Roll the dice. Why not?
Yeah, Dan, you couldn't be more wrong. You couldn't be more wrong. You don't roll the dice on a play that you have no chance of scoring on. The Phillies executed perfectly. Again, when's the last time that double steal worked in the big leagues?
Ooh, again, you keep putting that caveat of the big leagues. I think I saw it in the Little League World Series last year. I think I saw that in Omaha a couple of times.
Really, blows me away that they even tried it. Usually on that play, the catcher will hold the ball, they give you second base, and the guy doesn't even try to score from third. Like, or the throw goes and it gets intercepted, the guy goes into second, and the runner stays at third. He doesn't actually try to score because he anticipates that the ball is going to be cut off and thrown home.
Benintendi does, though.
Oh, yeah, but not Crash. Nope, not Crash Benintendi, son of Psycho at third base. No, he decides to break home. Again, there are just times where you look at them and say, man, what are they thinking? Really, what are they thinking? And last night was one of them. They're a good team. Okay, they're a good team. But until they get over this little hump, you really do look at them and say, this is what's going to stop them from being great. There's always something, whether it's the bullpen, stupidity on the bases, or Pac-Man. You also mentioned Jackie Bradley's throw that sailed up the third baseline. He's got a great arm.
Yeah, how fast was it on StatCast, though, Tony? That's what I want to know. Was it 101? 103? Ooh, was it 104? Like, how hard did he throw it, though? Who cares if he got the out and it was inaccurate and up the baseline? How hard did he throw it? That's all I want to know.
Negative four-star play, Jones.
I mean, he does. He's got a hose, but he doesn't know where it's going sometime. And every little play makes a difference. If that were a playoff game last night, we'd be talking about all that stuff. Anyway, we're off and running. Jones and Arcand are aboard here today. Third day without Felger. First day without Murray again. It's like, I feel like a kid in a candy store. I finally got rid of those two dead weights. I'm liberated. When we come back, we'll touch on the trading deadline. And also, there was a play in last night's game that we'll get to this hour that really should have made you hold your breath. We'll touch on that, too.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nobody really knows why, per se, but he has changed the grip a little bit more on his slider over this season, and a little bit, and they think that may have caused a little bit of that problem.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with grips or mechanics or anything like that.
So that was an interesting little contrast last night between Dave Dombrowski and Chris Sale, who went on the disabled list. 10-day DL for Chris Sale. He will not pitch in the Yankee series with what the Red Sox are calling mild shoulder inflammation. Okay, first of all, do you believe that?
No, I don't. You know what do I think the Red Sox are doing? I think they're trying to build in a little extra rest for him. That's what I think. But in the meantime, with him on the disabled list, I don't know, like until he comes back, I hope I'm right. But until he comes back, I'm a little nervous about the situation.
Okay. But when you say they're trying to build in rest, do you believe the injury is legit?
I believe he's feeling something in his shoulder. I bet he could pitch through it, but I think he's feeling something in his shoulder. Yeah.
Okay. As do I. I think he is also feeling something in his shoulder. And Christian, what was the thing you had this morning about when's the last time this guy was on the DL?
2015. 3 years ago. I mean, that's a long time for a guy who pitches the way he pitches and of his build and everything else to go without even landing on the DL once. I mean, just for a early in the year or any time. And you know what his track record is at the end of these seasons. You know what happens to him at the end of these years. He's only been in the DL once in the last 3 years. That's to me, alarming, to say the least.
Yeah, so you're worried about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. I am a little worried about it, too. I am also, like, I've reached the point with Dave Dombrowski where every time he opens his mouth, I don't believe him.
He's like the new Lucchino, the new Farrell. He's just like the new guy you don't believe there.
Well, every time he opens his mouth, I mean, he says this thing with, well, you know, there is this thing with the slider grip. Then they ask Sales, like, no, it's got nothing to do with it. There's no issue with the grip. I'm fine. You know, it's not a result of that.
Well, do you think that's Sale just being defensive about, like, whatever he's working on? Like,
no.
whatever advantage he has?
No, I'll
so
tell
you. Think, so you think Dombrowski's just wrong? You think Dombrowski's wrong on this?
Yeah. Just made it up?
Oh, see, I feel like Sale was kind of covering things up. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that you and I disagree. I just think that Dombrowski, honestly, I feel like half the time he talks out his ass. I really do. Half the time I think he completely talks out his ass. And I think Chris Sale's shoulder is sore because he throws 99 every time he goes to the mound now. And I think that it's just a hard way to live. In the big leagues, you can't be max effort 99 and throw that way all year long and survive.
Especially when you're 160 pounds or whatever.
Exactly right. I mean, the guy's, he's popsicle sticks, toothpicks, and a little bit of wire. I mean, that's what holds them all together, for crying out loud, if you take a good look at them. And if I'm a Red Sox fan, I would be concerned. And so you tell me if I'm wrong, Pac-Man. I look at this and I say, well, you know what? Isn't this now proof that this whole approach with Sale hasn't worked? Already we have proof that it has not worked. And when I say, now look, he may be stronger in September and October, but it required a DL stint in part to do it. And so the idea was to get him through the season without any interruptions and give him a little more cushion with extra days and what have you, or maybe the All-Star break, and he'll still have bullets in September and October. They got to the end of July / beginning of August, and now they have to shut him down for a little while.
So let me play devil's advocate, because I don't disagree with you, but you know, you were covering Lester and Beckett and all those guys.
Pedro.
Didn't the Red Sox used to give them DL stints just to kind of, like, as part of their program? Not that there was a setback per se, but like as part of their program, hey, let's give this guy a couple of starts off.
Sure, and I would tell you that Beckett was brittle. Pedro was brittle. Lester wasn't. And so now Lester, he may have gone on the DL once here, but look at his year by year starts. 32, 33, 34 every year. The guy never misses a turn. Lester's a horse. He is a bona fide legitimate horse. Sale is not. And so I just think that all I'm saying is that he's like those guys.
Well, physically Sale's not. I mean, Sale makes his starts every year too.
He makes his, yeah. 3 years he hasn't been on the DL.
Right, but he wears down.
No, true. But I'm just saying, if you're going by starts as the metric, I mean, Sale makes his starts every year.
Okay, so that's a good point. But I just don't think he holds up the same way as some of those other guys do. And so Lester's a horse who continues to pitch well through October. He has done it. And by the way, this doesn't make Sale a bad pitcher in any way, shape, or form. This is sort of this is one of those things that if you really examine it, very few good pitchers in the big leagues can make it through the full season year after year and not lose anything. Okay, it takes a unique body to be able to do that. But I get agitated because I think too many people have given the Red Sox credit for this program with Sale. It went well. There was still no guarantee it was ever going to work.
No, but isn't it better than last year?
How can you tell?
because he's thrown however many less, I think it's 12 less innings at this point, it's 200 less pitches or what. So, I mean, it's better.
Okay, they saved him bullets, but we don't know if it was going to make him any better in late August or September.
No, Chicago, I think I heard you say this last night, and I agree. Chicago managed him in 2016, his last year with the White Sox, and he still wore down.
Correct.
In August and September. So is it going to work? I don't know, but like, I like that they're at least trying something different instead of the idiot John Farrell having him go for 300 Ks last year.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing the effort. I'm criticizing the people who are saying it was working.
I see.
How do you know?
Too early to tell.
Yes, the critical point was going to come in August and September, and we couldn't even get that far before he went on the DL.
So 300 strikeout, baby! Yes!
There you go. No, exactly
that,
right.
No, I thought that was a smart approach.
No, that was a real smart thing that they did last
year. Yes!
They did the right thing this year. They did. They absolutely did the right thing this year.
A moment we will all remember for the rest of our lives.
But there were people proclaiming it a success 2 weeks ago. And I said, how the hell do you know it's a success?
Just a perfect call by manager John.
Chet's in Northborough. Go ahead, Chet.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
Good.
Hey, you're a good guy. You got great insights and so on.
Debatable.
But if I could give you a little negative criticism.
Go.
You're part of the old archetype, Puritan archetype, that goes through Ben Dreyfuss, it goes through Bucky Dent, it goes through, it's something's going to go wrong, the sky is going to fall, and so on. My wife's the same thing.
Yeah, Chet, do me a favor, just don't drop any of that Puritan archetype bullcrap that Gammons used to spew all the time.
Because
I don't believe in it. I am what I am, but I'm not a Puritan archetype.
Well, I think you drink from the pool. I don't know. But anyway, my wife was the same thing. Anytime the Red Sox were ahead and all of a sudden somebody started to get ahead in the other team, oh, we're going to lose. And I think you play to that. You play to the weaknesses, thinking that those are going to contribute to the downfall rather than look at the positives. For example, the running thing. The Red Sox are second or third in the major league in successful attempts, an amount of attempts of stealing, and they're first in the successful attempts.
Okay, so Chad, I pointed this out yesterday. They are number one in steal percentage.
I think you said it earlier today.
No.
You mentioned some of their quality base, or at least some of their numbers were down this year compared to last year. You mentioned that.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're second getting thrown out at home. Second most times. Last year, they were first. That's a step in the right direction.
Baby steps. Progress.
So I said this yesterday. The Eduardo Nunez steal two nights ago, that was a big play.
Sure.
It was a big play because he ended up scoring on a ground rule double. If he doesn't get to second, he stops at third. Who knows if they score that run? They win the game against the Phillies. So that was a big play. And I'm okay with stolen bases situationally. And their success rate on steals, good. Yes, there's been some good stuff. But I also think they still make way too many stupid mistakes, especially the guy who plays left field, who continues to run the bases like his freaking pants are on fire.
Like, would you wager on them making a big out in a massive spot in the playoffs? Because I would. I would, based on all the outs they run into. I fully expect them to do it. So great. Oh, awesome. Their percentages are good, and they got all these extra bases, and they're one of the better base running teams. Okay, fine. I feel like they're going to make a boneheaded play in a big spot. They do it all the time.
No question about it. I mean, they totally do. And the big games is where it'll show up.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
0-2. That ran in and got him on the hand. And in some pain now, and now down on all fours.
Oh, this does not look good. Remember last year's Zander got hit on a hand and a wrist area. Messed him up the rest of the year.
Well, he's getting up on his feet. Great sign there, but can he continue? Getting a hand here at Fenway. Looks like he wants to take his base. He should make it first and second. Nobody out. Yeah, he's putting the glove on.
Looks like it gets him right on the right hand, right on the throwing hand.
That was late in last night's game. Fastball up and in. Hit Xander Bogaerts right on the wrist. What's the first thing that crossed your mind, Adam Jones?
Same exact thing that happened last year. I didn't exactly remember it was Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is where it happened last year, correct?
I guess I didn't remember that part of it either.
I read that this morning, but right. You know, he got drilled last season. I think he was hitting over 300 when it happened. OPS over 800. He was going along well last year. Got drilled on the wrist. Played all year. Never went on the disabled list. Played through it.
But played poorly.
But suffered on the field. And yeah, now you have to wonder, and I think we're going to hear from Bogaerts. He wonders himself if it's going to be the same situation all over again. I don't know how you don't go back to that last year.
Yeah, so since you brought it up, here's what Bogaerts said after the game.
As soon as I got hit, I was like, I can't believe what happens. You know, it's part of the game. If I don't foul off those first two pitches, I mean, I wouldn't get hit, but it's part of the game, and we'll see how I feel whenever the next game is.
So that part of the comment I did, I found interesting. If I didn't foul off the first two pitches, I wouldn't have got hit. Meaning, like, if I had hit the ball and put it in play.
Yeah, if I did damage on the pitches, I could have done damage on.
I know, but who thinks that way? Like, you're going to foul off pitches. Like, so it's like he's blaming himself for getting hit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I just find, I honestly, and I've said this before, when Bogaerts came up, I thought Bogaerts was going to be a stud. He hasn't panned out the way I thought he would. He's having a good year. Not a great year, but a good year. And he missed some time early in the year. The guy's a mental case.
So, I mean, physically, how different do you think he and Betts are? And I'll explain where I'm going with this. But, like, physically, how different are they? Betts probably a better athlete, but Bogaerts is a good athlete.
Yeah, Betts is a better athlete. Bogaerts has more strength. Betts has more quickness and speed.
But, like, what holds back Bogaerts from being Betts?
He should be closer than he is.
So
it's a fair point.
So is some of that his makeup or his approach or, you know, the fact that he's a mental case, as you put it? Like, Bogaerts should be a lot closer to Betts than he is. He should be MVP candidate is what he should be, and he's nowhere close to that. He's a good player, but he's nowhere close to that.
Well, especially when you factor in the position he plays in. And I go back to the beginning of his career, and then we'll get back to the calls. But I, you know, the whole move to third base, then to he started at third base, then played shortstop, then they moved him to third. They got Stephen Drew back, and that just felt like it threw him for a loop. Then this every second half he has played, he has faded. Last year he got hit by a pitch. And faded. Apparently, there was a disconnect there with John Farrell. It just feels like with Bogaerts, something always gets between his ears. So I want to see how this one goes. Because if I were them, I'd have traded Bogaerts a year ago. I'd have traded him last offseason. They kept him.
Do you still feel that way?
Well, they were clearly right. He's had a good year. Okay, they got through to him somehow. Maybe it's Cora. Maybe it's Tim Hyers. Maybe it's just the fact that Farrell's gone. I don't know what it is. He's played better this year. And defensively, he's played well. He's been solid, like steady. We never talk about Bogaerts' defense, right? Which, as a shortstop, is a good thing. I mean, he's steady. And given that there were questions about him when he first came up, that's a good sign.
You imagine the day they just had yesterday, potentially, with Sale going on the DL, losing on top. By the way, you lose. Oh, by the way. Sale goes on the DL, your ace, who your only really actual good pitcher that you'd have in a playoff series, David Price, ERA around 4, Rick Porcello, ERA over 4. Those guys have awful postseason track records. So Sale is the only guy who has half a shot in a playoff series. He goes on the DL. Bogaerts gets drilled on the wrist, and the Red Sox lose like that. And Dombrowski does nothing at the deadline to improve the bullpen.
Right, yeah.
Nice day. Nice day for the best team in baseball.
So I do want to get your thoughts on the fact that they didn't pick up a reliever at the deadline, because I hated it. I don't understand how they could go there, but we'll do that here in just a bit. Dominic's in Southbridge. Go ahead, Dominic.
Hey, this whole asterisk thing from, I'm disappointed Murray's not there. But
rip him anyway.
Exactly. I can't rip him until he comes back. I gotta get the rip in now. So I feel like it was a good sign that he was getting just jaded and sort of dark and under the tutelage, the Palpatine-like tutelage of you and Felger. But the removal of a leg from the asterisk.
A spoke.
So it's completely fraudulent. After that gutsy win against the Phillies the other night, that was totally gift-wrapped to them by the Phillies.
True.
With base running blunders that was rivaled only by the Red Sox themselves, and that outrageous, the outfielder missed that line drive in the outfield.
Odubel Herrera, No, that was a good play.
Odubel Herrera, I think I saw that play in Omaha last year, too. I think I saw the double steal work. And I think I saw that same play running in on a line drive that went over his head for a triple in Omaha. Yeah.
You know, it just occurred to me, Jimmy, that if Jones is here when Murray's here, Murray doesn't have to wear sunglasses, because Jones is dark, brings plenty of darkness into the studio just by himself. Really, no, it just, everything gets a little bit more, there's a little more gloom with Jones in the studio.
I wanted to wear my sunglasses.
It solves the problem. Mm-hmm. Howard's in Amesbury. Go ahead, Howard.
Hey, Matt. Yeah. Hey, just before I get to my point, did you say that the Patriots brought in Decker?
They worked him out. They haven't signed him yet. They worked him out.
Okay. All right. So like I said yesterday, Dombrowski is Dombrowski. I can't believe that Sale could say, it's not my mechanics. It's not the grip on the ball, but Dombrowski's out there telling us that it is. And it just scares me, Maz. The whole thing scares me. When I saw Bogaerts get hit, I thought of the Yankee. You know, I thought of Aaron Judge immediately. I go, oh, no. That looks like Judge.
Well, look, it was hard. Yeah, it was hard not to have that thought because it was a similar kind of pitch. I mean, they both started to turn. They leaned back, and the ball went in under their hands and hit him right on the wrist. So here's my point with Dombrowski talking about Sale. Why are you telling anybody how it happened?
No, well, that's a good point. But maybe he's just, I don't know, maybe he's got a problem with oversharing. I mean, I that's the way I saw it. I figured it was Sale covering something up. I mean, what do you think it is?
I think it's just the fact that he's throwing 99. He takes the mound every 5 days and whips it.
Why do you think Dombrowski would say that is what I'm asking?
Because I think Dombrowski wants to show how smart he is. I think that Dombrowski's one of these guys who likes to let you know that he's the smartest man in the room.
He didn't play the game. So he's got to let you know he knows the game by being, you know, intelligent about it or knowing more about it than other people, being the smartest guy in the room.
I mean, just my two cents. That's what it feels like every time he opens his mouth.
Sounds like the head coach in Foxborough.
Okay, so let's take a few more calls because we do have a number of people lined up here. Joe's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Joe.
Maz, I don't understand. A couple weeks ago near the All-Star break, you said that they should shut Sale down, maybe have a miss a start or two, and then they do it, and you're kind of ripping them for it. I don't understand.
No, Joe, I'm not ripping them for doing it. I said this earlier, so I'll say it again just to make it clear. They did the right things. They did. Who I'm ripping is the people who said it was a success. How do you know? You weren't going to know that until the end of August, or maybe September, or maybe even October, until you actually saw them last the whole season. Well, I'm not ripping them for doing it. They did the right things with Sale.
Well, no, your plan was the right thing. Have him sit out the All-Star game and have him pitching the meaningful game against, you know, the Yankees. That actually would have been the right approach. What they did is wrong. Why is he pitching in the All-Star game and not against New York?
I mean, he shouldn't have been pitching in the All-Star game. Jimmy Stewart's going to destroy me here if we don't go to break. So we'll take a break when we come back. I do want to touch on something that Sale said that I absolutely love.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Giveaway time. Giveaway time. Right now, caller number 10. Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You'll get a $100 value card to Core Golf in Natick, and that's KOHR Golf in Natick. Good for 10 free buckets at the most amazing driving range and practice center around. You can check them out at coregolf.com. And again, that's KOHRGolf.com. Caller number 10 right now, Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. And as an aside, I actually visited this place pretty recently. It's legit.
Yeah?
It is. It's a good place. And the guys that work there, the instructors, are excellent. One of them was out at the charity golf tournament we did not so long ago. A guy named Chris, lefty with a red beard, my kind of cat.
Yeah?
He picked up a little glitch in my swing, Jones. And he fixed it for me.
A little one?
Just a little one. I mean, again, no, I'm like butter. I'm telling you. Seriously, I am butter, man. It's a nice group of people over there, and they know what they're doing. So, 617-779-0985. There was something Chris Sale said yesterday that I don't know. I like Sale. And again, I'm not saying he's perfect because he's not. But I do like the way he sort of answers questions. It feels to me he's very direct. And so he was asked about you know, missing this turn, and people were prodding him, the idea that the Red Sox were hiding something. And here's what Sale said.
If this was something more serious, I would tell you, we're not hiding anything. This is nothing that we're worried about. This is a concern at most. You know, this isn't something that I deemed necessary to, or anybody thought was necessary to get an MRI. It's just a little soreness in your pitching arm, and take some Advil, get it rubbed down, and ready to go. It's a pretty crappy situation to be in. I don't like it at all. I'm a pitcher that pitches, and I don't like sitting on the sidelines watching someone else do my job for me. But, you know, it happens. You deal with it, keep your chin up, keep grinding, keep working, and be back out there hopefully in Toronto.
So the fact that he was up at the podium, to me, Sale almost felt uncomfortable about it. Like, look, guys, my arm's sore. Okay, I'm fine. But that line at the end, I'm a pitcher that pitches. Like, I don't know. And maybe I just like him, Pac-Man, because I can tell you're already looking at me like I have three heads. Like, what kind of loser are you? Because
no.
You think negatively about everything.
No, not just – I'm just surprised. I'm just caught a little off guard that you like him so much.
I do. I like him. I think he's no nonsense. I think he pitches with passion. He pitches with intensity. And that line, I'm a pitcher that pitches, was like Bill Parcells talking about Bledsoe years ago, and not many people will remember this. I mean, you were probably like walking around in baby booties at the time, for crying out loud. But Parcells said of Bledsoe, people were asking, why are you playing Bledsoe with an injury? And Parcells said, players play. That's what they do. They're players. Players play. And I just feel like Sale's one of these guys that says, I'm a pitcher that pitches. That's what I do.
Plus, he knew if Bledsoe got hurt, he had to play Zolak. So, you know, that's... when that's your fallback plan, you play Bledsoe.
It's a fair point. I do want to let's wrap it up here with some phone calls, and then top of the hour we'll get to the Patriots, who released wide receiver Jordan Matthews today. If you were already worried about the receiving core down there, you have more reason to worry now. Like, bodies are dropping like flies down there in that receiving core. It's unbelievable. Ralph's in Methuen. Ralph, go.
Yeah, I just think I wouldn't worry too much about Sale. I think he, in fact, he just mentioned it, that he's not worried. I believe last year when he got a couple extra days to off between starts, he pitched, came back and pitched better. And I think they're doing it this year. They're just going to give him 10 whole days off. And, I mean, when he says he's a guy who pitches, it means he probably pitches through pain, which all of them do, that put up that kind of innings.
So, Ralph, look, you might be right. You might be right. You might say that, look, you know, they may be looking at this and saying, you know what? We're going to put the brakes on him. We should have had him sit out the All-Star game. We didn't. He pitched. We're going to put the brakes on him now, and he'll be ready to go.
No, we got some of these last night. So it's a good thing, Ralph, the caller, that Chris Sale's on the DL. Like, well, like, no. It's actually a good thing that Chris Sale, the ace of the team, the only good pitcher they have, it's a good thing that they placed him on the DL. I actually woke up yesterday rooting for Chris Sale to go on the DL. I was like, when are the Red Sox going to put him on the DL? I hope he misses the series against the Yankees. Like, I don't think it's anything major. I don't think that. You know, he can pitch on August 7th against Toronto, but until he's back and until he's pitching, I think we're entitled to be a little nervous when the ace of the team is on the DL.
Do you think it was a part of the original plan?
I don't think it was part of, like, way back in spring training?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
See, me neither.
I think he has something that's bothering him in his shoulder, and there's a reason to, even if he could pitch through it, there's a reason he's on the DL.
See, I think they are now seeing the onset of what typically derails him. And they said, you know what? We're going to stop. We're going to shut you down right now. We're going to slow it down. And we're going to reset you now so that you're ready to go in late August and September. And maybe he'll be out just in 10 days. I have no idea. But I think they saw it. I think that maybe this happened to him last year and they didn't tell us. Yep, my shoulder starts to get a little bit sore in August. Oh, it does? So this happened last year? Yeah. Well, then you know what? We're going to stop it now. Because we're six games up, or whatever it is, five now, because the Yankees won last night. So we're five games up, and we get we're going to need you down the stretch. And if it means we got to take a bullet in this series with the Yankees now, fine, we'll take a bullet in the series with the Yankees now. Chris is in Leominster.
Yeah, so a quick little conspiracy theory, I guess, on the Sale to the DL. I don't know if you heard earlier, the other station had Dombrowski on. And it's sort of explaining their decision in putting him on the DL. He said something to the effect of, well, we had considered pushing his start back until Sunday and then actually considered the days and then put him on the DL instead of that. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe David Price is pitching on Sunday.
He is.
So the way that I heard that was, well, they put him on the DL to save face with David Price so that they didn't kick him out of the Yankee series based on all the other stuff that happened this year.
So with Chris, him pitching against Chris, just quickly before I let you go, did he say that they were going to bounce Price, or that, because Price could also pitch on Saturday?
He didn't. It was really just sort of a throwaway line that sort of caught my ear as he said it.
Okay, and it should catch your ear with good reason, because given David Price's history against the Yankees, if they moved him out of that series, that would be noteworthy. But remember, Price pitched Monday. So Price's regular term would be on Saturday. Everybody's going to get backed up a day because of the off day today. They don't play tonight. It's like the weirdest Wednesday off day ever. You never see a big league team get a Wednesday off.
No.
It's Monday or Thursday.
Yankees have to play twice. Like, could you imagine Red Sox fans bitching about this, by the way, if this is Boston, complaining about the schedule? It's Red Sox, Yankees, and the Yankees have to play a doubleheader the day before the series gets going. Like, just, I don't hear anybody crying for New York, but imagine if this were on the other, the shoe were on the other foot, and the Red Sox had to play a doubleheader, and the Yankees got an off day going into a four-game set.
Yeah, come on, Pac-Man. Red Sox fans don't whine.
It would be unbelievable.
What are you not when there's about? A rain out or anything like that.
Nope.
That would never happen.
Not them.
We didn't hear it.
Arcane will get you caught up on the latest headlines, including a personnel decision down in Foxborough. Somebody's bye-bye. He's not with the team anymore. Arcane will tell you, and then we'll come back and talk about it here with Adam Jones filling in for Felger today. Arcane's in for Jim Murray on Felger and Mass.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.